10.
They come to the wire, and Ali Sheba, America's horse, has done it.
9.
This is unbelievable! Zenyatta, what a performance, one we'll never forget.
8.
Wise Dan's got him! Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile!
7.
But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
6.
And Coach Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
5.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they ask, the more he gave.
4.
And it's a vintage performance by Vino Rosso in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
3.
Here is our Kang to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1.
2.
He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
1.
Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms. Now, let's go live to Del Mar and join host Bobby Newman.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Breeders' Cup 2021, HRRN's exclusive coverage. These Breeders' Cup Countdown shows presented by our good friends over at Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman alongside my good friend Jude Field. We are right above the winner's circle, right in front of the finish line at beautiful Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, where a typical morning layer of fog has come in this time of year, but beautiful weather conditions, Jude, as we are just days away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Yeah, the weather's just been spectacular here at Del Mar, and we're watching Tripoli come down the stretch. He won the Pacific Classic here a couple months ago, and John Sadler's tuned him up for the Classic, and a lot of nice horses out this morning.
A lot of nice horses, and we'll let you know what's going on with these horses and what's going on here at Del Mar. As Jude mentioned, the weather is beautiful. Temperature right around 60 degrees now. By the time we get to the races Friday and Saturday, going to be closer to 70 degrees and really no chance of rain either of those days, and really not going to be windy conditions either. So perfect racing conditions, and whether you're somebody who's used to the California weather or some of the Euros or Japanese horses coming in, not that real hot weather that they sometimes have to worry about when shipping over to the West Coast.
Yeah, it's really very pleasant. The horses seem to be enjoying it. They're bucking and playing, coming onto the track, and it's a beautiful situation here at Del Mar. The track is so quiet. You can barely hear. Sometimes you can't hear anything when the horses are working down the stretch. The surface is great, and everybody seems to be having a nice time. Number 617, I don't know who that is, but looking pretty good right now. Going the wrong way of the track, warming up for a little workout. Looks like the rider's
Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan's got a whip in her back pocket, so
we're going to have a lot of fun over the next 3 days, and we'll have these Breeders' Cup Countdown shows presented by Hillendale through Thursday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the West Coast, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. over Eastern Standard Time. A lot of fun coming up in the next 3 days. We'd be remiss, though, if we didn't mention something that was not very good at the top of the show. Somebody that everybody in racing knows and a good friend of ours, Miguel Mena, unfortunately passed away recently. It was reported that he was involved. He was actually struck by a car while a pedestrian on a highway in Louisville. It was very weird reporting because we don't know exactly what happened. But in the end, it doesn't really matter. Unfortunately, Miguel Mena, a very talented rider, a husband, a father of two, by all accounts, a very good guy, unfortunately killed.
Yeah, very pleasant man and really a tremendous rider. He rode a lot of horses for Al Stahl. It was kind of shocking and a sad day for everybody, but we wish his family the best.
Very, very sad. We will try to keep things more upbeat for the remainder of 3 days as we lead into our live Breeders' Cup coverage this Friday and Saturday here on HRRN. Jude, you mentioned a lot of horses out on the track, and when you have the Breeders' Cup and these horses on the track, it's sometimes hard to keep track of all of them because you've got 14 races worth of contenders, and they're all jogging in this. We actually had a worker this morning. I don't know if you know this, Stiletto Boy, who figures to be a long shot in the Breeders' Cup Classic this year, actually worked 4 furlongs, 52 and a fifth. So it wasn't like he was blazing around there, but still it was a recorded workout.
Yeah, I saw him break off down the backside, and he was moving pretty good. He's a horse that really takes a lot of training and does a lot in the mornings anyway, so it's hard to tell sometimes whether he's galloping or whether he's working. But that was kind of an in-between, maybe a little leg stretcher getting closer to the race.
Seeing some of the European contingent single file coming toward us right now, we actually saw a lot of the turfers on the turf course just kind of stretching their feet earlier today. Saw horses like Space Blue schooling in the paddock. Ybir went to the paddock to school. Adaria, who's is very talented, went to school. Tarnawa just passing in front of us right now. So we're seeing the Euros, as they always seem to do, kind of single file, very regimented, going by and doing their things. It's not a free-for-all when they come onto the track.
Yeah, no, they're usually pretty organized. And we saw Sisfahan, who has impressed me in the mornings. He looks good. He seems to be enjoying his Del Mar experience.
Channel Maker, who's a contender in this year's Breeders' Cup Turf, just passed us right now. He's heading to the paddock for a little bit of schooling. Saw Mo Forza, who's going to be a major player in the Breeders' Cup Mile, go there. We've seen a few major contenders out on the track as well for both the Distaff and the Classic. Hot Rod Charlie, I know, impressed you as he went by. We saw Medina Spirit going on by at a swift gallop. Malathat taking things in. She's obviously a big player in the Distaff.
Yeah, Malathat, she looked really good this morning. She came out on the track and stood and watched some of the horses train, and just very relaxed and enjoying the morning. She got a little stirred up. A horse came kind of close to her, and she didn't like that. Get away from me.
we'll keep updating on what we see out on another track. We're going to be loaded with great guests, not only today, but all 3 days on these Breeders' Cup Countdowns presented by Hill and Dale Farm. Bruce Lunsford, owner and breeder of Art Collector, who's a major player in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, will be joining us today. Jockey Raylu Gutierrez, who's going to be riding in his first Breeders' Cup race. We're trying to get a hold of Raylu. He's going to ride Hidden Connection in the Juvenile Fillies on Friday. News editor for Bloodhorse, Byron King, will join us today, talk about what he's seen already this week and maybe what he liked and didn't like out of yesterday's post-position draw. Craig Dato, the executive vice president, chief marketing officer here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, and a guy who loves the game and likes to handicap, will join us as well. Trainer Mark Cassie has 5 Breeders' Cup runners over the 2 days. He'll be joining us this morning. And jockey Joel Rosario, who rides almost every race both days. I think he may have 1 race off on Friday, and he may have 1 race off on Saturday. So he's going to be a busy man. He will also join us this morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hill and Dale. Folks, Horse Racing's World Championships are here. You can bet the Breeders' Cup risk-free with TVG. That's right. New TVG players can get started with a risk-free bet up to $300. That means you get up to $300 back if your horse doesn't win. The TVG app is so easy to use and gives you all the tools you need. You'll get access to free picks, analysis, and wagering advice from industry experts. The Breeders' Cup takes place this Friday and Saturday, so now is the perfect time to give TVG a shot. Just sign up with promo code HRRN for your chance to bet risk-free up to $300. That's promo code HRRN to place your first win bet risk-free exclusively on TVG.com/HRRN and the TVG app. Age, residency, and other eligibility restrictions apply. New users only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days. See terms at TVG.com. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Bruce Lunsford, the owner and breeder of Art Collector. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hill and Dale Farms on HRRN.
Multiple Grade 1 winner, Charlatan. Winner of the Grade 1 Malibu by 4.5 lengths.
What a spectacular return for Charlatan, who will romp in the Run Happy Malibu Stakes by 4.5 emphatic lengths.
And a dominating winner of the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby by 6 lengths.
And Charlatan is going to run them off their feet and win the Arkansas Derby.
By champion sire Spitestown, out of Breeders' Cup Distaff placed Authenticity. Charlatan, standing at Hillendale Farms.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
The Breeders' Cup runs here. HRRN is your home for over 25 hours of coverage during Breeders' Cup Week, leading up to our exclusive broadcast of the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Don't miss our countdown shows, race day radio, special Breeders' Cup editions of Trainer Talk, the Weekend Stakes Preview Show, and much more. Visit our website at horseracingradio.net for a complete schedule of exclusive Breeders' Cup programming, only on HRRN.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Arrowgate's going to take the far outside route. He's coming up on the outside of Gunavera, but he's a long way behind Gunrunner and Collected as they make their way to the top of the stretch in the Breeders' Cup Classic. They're into the stretch, and it's Collected and Gunrunner. They've been battling since the gates opened. Gunrunner's got the lead. Collected West Coast is bearing down on them on the outside. Final 16th. Gunrunner reaching for the wire. Collected's alongside. And then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic over Collected. Then came West Coast, followed by War Story. Arrowgate was coming late, but too late. The final time was 2 minutes 1.29 seconds.
Larry Colmus on the call of the 2017 Breeders' Cup Classic, the only Breeders' Cup Classic previously run here at Del Mar, and it was won by Gunrunner. By the way, Gunrunner, the last winner of the Woodward to go on to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, and that ties in beautifully with our first guest of the morning. We're pleased to be joined by Mr. Bruce Lunsford, who's the owner and breeder of Art Collector. Art Collector trying to duplicate the feat that Gunrunner had in 2017. Art Collector coming off an impressive win in the Grade 1 Woodward at Belmont in his last start. And he is one of nine set to go postward in race number 12 Saturday, the Grade 1 $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Bruce, thanks for joining us here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
Well, it's good to be on there. I'm just glad I qualified to get on.
Now, I have to preface this. So we tried to get Bruce on the air before the 2020 Kentucky Derby, and unfortunately, things did not go well for Art Collector that week, and he had to scratch. And I almost thought we were a jinx, Jude, and I was afraid to reach out to Bruce again. But we covered the Charlestown Classic here on HRN, and I made sure that I went down to the winner's circle when he was handshaking and kissing babies and everything like that after Art Collector's win. And I knew he was in a good mood, and I said, if you go to the Breeders' Cup this year, we're getting you on the air. And he said, absolutely. I don't even think he knew who I was at the time. But, no, Bruce, in all honesty, we're pleased to have you on and just so thrilled that you get Art Collector to run in this gigantic event Saturday.
Well, we're all looking forward to it, you know, and I kiddingly refer to it as we're the old guys. You know, there's Mott and me and Smith. I'm the oldest and Smith's the youngest. And he's either 56 or 55. There's some debate about that. But the rest of us know our age. So anyway, it'll be fun. We'll have a good time.
You've been an owner for a long time, and I'm sure it was disconcerting to miss the Kentucky Derby and all that. But you know, what advice would you give owners who have those setbacks, because no matter what happens, you always seem to maintain a good attitude and enjoy the game regardless of what's going on.
Well, you know, I don't think you can get too high. I don't think you can get too low. And you got to have a game plan, try to stick to it, because there'll be a lot of things other than you that control that game plan. And what's interesting, last year we had a game plan and got right there till the 2 days or 3 days before the Derby and had the little foot problem happen. And, but the horse, you know, there wasn't anything material wrong, just something that would be nagging. And, we put him off layoff and, you know, swam him and did a lot of things. Really looking forward to the spring before we were trying to pick a race. And, you know, along the way, you know, little things happened that we couldn't quite get to the right race. And then we decided to run in a short race at Churchill. And he broke, he hadn't been in a starting gate for what, 6-8 months, and he broke outside. And then it was kind of hard to get back in the race going that short. And then it looked like the only real places that had anything that could get us to the Breeders' Cup were in New York. So, you know, Bill Mott and I have been close and friends for years. And so the only thing I asked of Bill was, hey, you've got a lot of horses. This horse is the real deal. And I'd like to have him where you see him every day, which meant he had to be near in a stall near him and all of that. And Bill took it to heart and said, I will do that. And then we picked a race early that he was probably fit enough for already. And it wasn't a real tough stakes race, and we won it pretty handily. And then we decided on a game plan. We, you know, Bill came up with the idea to go up to Charlestown, which I saw Bobby there, and out of the clear blue, I'd never been there in my life. We get there, and you know, it's late at night. It's 11:15 or whatever when we ran, maybe 11:30. And you know, I've never been at a race that late unless it was at Turfway when I was a kid. So we get up there and he runs a huge race, and, you know, beat the horse that won it the year before and really did it, really wasn't even breathing hard at the end. And then we took our shot to go, you know, up to New York to run the Woodward, and, you know, he couldn't have performed any better. That was a real class field, great condition one, grade ones, grade two winners. And we won fairly handily, I'd say. And Bobby was there at when we were up in West Virginia. I haven't seen him do anything wrong, neither has Bill. And we talked about it at great length. And the only thing that concerned me was we weren't going to be able to keep Saez. And Saez likes our horse. But they have such commitment to Godolphin. I never expected him to ride. Kieran sent me a nice note because he knows I'd like to race again next year, and said, you know, they're going to retire Essential Quality, and we'd like to ride you on your routine next year. So I thought that was nice of him. And we just followed our pattern, just like we did last year, where there are fourth race. And here we've got, we've got a chance to be in the show. And I think it's a competitive field, not a real long field, you know, because there's only 9 horses. But I wouldn't trade places with anybody, but I think there's some legitimately good horses there, and we're probably the only one that's really going to come back and race that I can tell right now.
And that's unfortunate. We saw that last year with a huge departure of all those big name runners from last year's Breeders' Cup Classic, all going off to become stallions. And it's just the kind of the way the game is these days. But Art Collector, as you mentioned, coming off 3 wins in a row, he's a horse that has been showing a lot more pace in his races recently, but he's going to catch a field this Saturday that seems like it's loaded with pace. Nick's Go looks like he has to go. Medina Spirit looks like he's going to be close up. Hot Rod Charlie doesn't figure far back. So if best case scenario, what are you looking for trip wise for Art Collector?
Well, I thought the draw was pretty good for us. You know, we were in the one hole in the mile last year, and that's all I was hoping. Just don't be in the one or two hole. That's all I did. Really didn't care where we were otherwise, but I didn't and think about, you know, it would be in like the 6 hole, which is a great spot, but we got Nick's Go right by us and, you know, right inside him's Essential Quality. So we kind of get to look at, you know, 2/3 of the horses that I would be concerned about generally. And, you know, we've got, with Medina Radina Spirit, whatever his name is, you know, he breaks from the outside, the eight hole. So they'll probably be a hustle to the lead. And, you know, as long as Mike gets out and settles him, you know, we'll run our race and then we'll see if we're good enough.
Yeah, you got the right rider there. I mean, Mike can do some amazing things on horses that other riders can't do. And he has a vast experience of riding in this type of race. Of course, the greatest Breeders' Cup winner of all time as far as jockeys are concerned. So, you know, I agree with you about the post. When I saw where you drew, I was really excited for you because it's great to be outside of Nick's go and have that, as you mentioned, the vision of where he's going to be and where essential quality is going to be. That's a big edge for any rider, and you got the guy that can take advantage of it.
I agree. And you know, I think the horse, this is my own opinion, I think the horse to beat essential quality, because I think he's doing all the right things right now. And he's got, in my opinion, the best rider in the country right now.
Speaking with Bruce Lunsford, who's the owner and breeder of Art Collector, 8-1 on the morning line in this year's Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Bruce, Art Collector already he's been out here at Del Mar maybe a little bit longer than some of these other horses, actually has a recorded work over the track this past Sunday, a half a mile in 48-2. Was that the plan all along, to get him out here early and get him used to the racetrack?
Well, it was Bill's plan. I didn't get into the way of that. And I'm not coming out till Thursday. So I just, whatever he said, and he said that, you know, he wanted to take him. He's got five horses out there. And he got him out there, and he took Neil, who's his best rider, and you know, good staff to take care of him and all. And it was fun. I watched TBG the other day and got to watch Art Collector work when Bill, you know, took him out to the track himself and galloped around once with him and then let Neil go. And I could really see the work, and I knew it was a terrific work. I could just tell because I've watched him work enough, and he didn't ask him for anything. The horse just did it on his own, and probably in normal Mott style, he galloped on out around the turn and everything. And I saw Bill's interview this morning. I thought he analyzed, you know, what the horse has been doing pretty well, and recognizes that we're in deep water here.
Yeah, it's a deep field, but you got one of the best horses in the race. I mean, that's just got to be a fantastic feeling.
Well, you know, I've had this isn't my first experience in the Breeders' Cup. I've had three or four, and I had one that really was the favorite, First Samurai, and he got, you know, when Bailey on him, you can't ask for anything better than that. He got the guy holding him held him too long, and he got stopped, and Jerry had to check him and then try to work his way through. And I thought we were still going to win it, but just got tired out from having to work that hard to get to the lead. And then the horse that won it, you know, never ran again. That was one of O'Neill's horses. And the other one, Henny Hughes, ran second. We beat both two times before. And of all of them, we turned out to be the best sire, because First Samurai has been a pretty solid, you know, $12,500 to $15,000 sire. About as good a blue collar, you know, as you can get as sires go. And then the mother mare of all these horses for me over the years, Vision and Verse, and, you know, Vision Verse ran big in the Belmont and then Travers, and got beat by the horse that the old, you know, I guess the old trainer had, who was an excellent trainer, beat us. And then a few years ago, I came back and ran Distorted Legacy, who's the mother of Art Collector and the filly Mare's Turf. And she ran a huge fourth and got beat, you know, like a neck and a head for second. And then Roger Atfield's horse out of nowhere won the race. So it was pretty exciting, but, you know, I kept her in training too. And then when I put her, you know, as a brood mare, I had high hopes for her. You know, obviously I bred her to Bernardini, but I knew how good this horse was. So now she's got two on the ground out of Into Mischief, and the third one right now is Justify, and she's the only filly. So it's been a development of process, and Bunny was in the first crop of, you know, who was the mother of all of them. She was in the very first crop that I bought with Seth.
Bruce, we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us today. By the way, a bunch of the European contingent just jogged by us, or really kind of just trotted by us, as it were, in procession. We saw Love, good-looking Philly, Mogul, Japan, just to name a few, as we're sitting here just above the finish line at Del Mar. One last thing, Bruce, before we let you go. Several years ago, you owned a really good filly named Madcap Escapade, who was a multiple graded stakes winner. What are your memories of her?
Well, a couple of things that strike me is I knew how good she was the second race she ran when she won the Old Hat Stakes and won by about 12 or whatever. And the guy said, she's so far out in front, the rest of them can't see her. And, you know, she set the stakes record in that. And that's the only time in all the years I've raced that a horse made me cry, because I knew I'd probably never see one like her again. And she turned out to be terrific. We had so much fun. She went into the race at Keeneland and won it, the Ashland Stakes. And we were the favorite in the Oaks. And it was a wet track early in the day. And I thought she would be in terrific shape. And then it dried out and got heavy. And then she wound up running third. But and then came back the next year. And we ran a huge race in the Princess Rooney. And then that was her last race.
Airdrie Studs Complexity, one of 2021's hottest new sires. Book full immediately in his first year at stud. The Blazingly Fast Son and McLean's Music showed he was amongst his generation's most gifted runners when taking the Grade 1 Champagne Stakes at 2 in 1:34 and 3.
And Complexity's going to go every step of the way to win the champagne.
As a three-year-old, his 1:10 buyer speed figure when taking the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap was outpaced only by Horse of the Year Authentic's Breeders' Cup Classic of any race at a mile or more in 2020.
The Adina Springs Stallion roster is loaded with classic bloodlines and classic performance.
Oh, the classy point of entry would not be denied.
Dynaforma Zaire Point of Entry, a global sire with black type horses in 5 countries, and the number one sire of Grade 1 performers in his crop. Multiple Grade 1 winner Shaman Ghost, the best son of Ghost Zapper, whose 2-year-olds race this year.
And it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost. He has won the Woodward.
Silent Name, the only son of Sunday Silence at Stud in North America, and Canada's champion sire 3 years in a row.
Silent Poet in front of the Neotic, and this one's for you, Martha. Silent Poet's won it.
And the newest addition to the Adina Springs roster, American Guru, from a proven winning family, steeped in tradition, with a strong Mr. Prospector influence on both sides.
But American Guru continues to keep on giving. And American Guru has dominated.
Classic bloodlines, classic performance. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Where did Essential Quality, Latruska, She Dares the Devil, CZ Rocket, Silver State, and several others begin their journey to the Breeders' Cup? Oaklawn, of course. Put your horse on the path to success at the richest winter race meet in the country, now starting even earlier on Friday, December 3rd. Make plans to be part of an exciting 66 days of racing through Sunday, May 8th. And be sure to go to oaklawn.com to book your hotel rooms. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only racing casino resort.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Black Tie Affair. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Zenyatta came to the 2010 Breeders' Cup looking to defend her crown in the $5 million Classic, and in doing so, achieve perfection in her final career start. Her record stood at an unblemished 19-for-19 as the field loaded into the starting gate beneath the twin spires at Churchill Downs. But as they arrived at the top of the stretch, Zenyatta found herself trailing her 11 rivals and would need to call on all her class one last time.
Zenyatta now hooking to the grandstand side, and Zenyatta is now coming with her run, looking at Lucky Blame. Blame on the inside, Blame gets the lead. Zenyatta on the outside, looking at Lucky Blame. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, Zenyatta is flying. Blame trying to hold on. Blame and Zenyatta second.
A mere head separated her from perfection, but there was no shame in defeat for this great mare. She would go on to be voted Horse of the Year, and her sensational display of courage and determination provided yet another memorable moment in Breeders' Cup history.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick, and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. One in six. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country, but it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Arrowgate's going to take the far outside route. He's coming up on the outside of Gunnavera, but he's a long way behind Gunrunner and Collected as they make their way to the top of the stretch in the Breeders' Cup Classic. They're into the stretch, and it's Collected and Gunrunner. They've been battling since the gates opened. Gunrunner's got the lead. Collected West Coast is bearing down on them on the outside. Final 16th. Gunrunner reaching for the wire. Collected's alongside. And then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic over Collected. Then came West Coast, followed by War Story. Arrowgate was coming late, but too late. The final time was 2:01.29.
North America's all-time leading trainer with more than 9,500 career victories and purse earnings now in excess of $369 million. That number, by the way, second only to fellow Hall of Fame trainer Todd Fletcher all-time. Included among those lofty numbers I just mentioned are seven Breeders' Cup winners, two of those coming in the Breeders' Cup Classic, his most recent, of course, being Gunrunner, and that call you just heard from NBC's Larry Colmus, the only other time the Breeders' Cup was held at Del Mar. So it's a good omen. It's a special place for trainer Steve Asmussen. He has six horses pre-entered into this year's Breeders' Cup and would love nothing more than to add to those lofty totals next weekend. Steve, appreciate the visit here. Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good lead-in, as you put it.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, you think about those numbers and everything you've accomplished, and you think about the call we just heard of Gunrunner. When you were listening to that, what was going through your mind?
I've watched that replay many a time. What a great performance on a great day by a great horse.
Where does that win, in your second classic win, where does that rank for you among all the things you've been able to accomplish? It's got to be right up there.
Oh, it definitely is. Like I said, it was a great performance by a great horse. The style in which he did it, taking it to him. Racetrack wasn't playing towards his style, but had the confidence in him. Florent had the confidence in him to ride his race and just simply ran him off their feet. And 45 and change first, half mile, going a mile and a quarter on a racetrack that hadn't been favoring any pace, I think says what a true champion that Gunrunner is.
Yeah, your first win came with Curlin in the Classic back in 2007, and that was your very first Breeders' Cup win. What a way to break through there. What type of horse, Steve, does it take to win a race like the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Our two victories in the Breeders' Cup Classic are with Curlin and Gunrunner, and one is a Hall of Famer, and the other one is no doubt going to be a Hall of Famer. So for me, that's the caliber of horse it has taken.
We're going to walk through all your runners this year, but let's, since we're talking about the Classic, let's just go ahead and start with the big one and Max Player. He comes out of that huge win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Saratoga on September 4th. He has been brilliant in his recent starts. Do you see Max Player fitting into that mold of a curling, of a gun runner?
His last two races, as you mentioned, are outstanding. His Suburban win and following that up with a very good win off track in the Suburban at Belmont Park, but then transferring that form to two-turn race, mile and a quarter, in the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Saratoga is, you know, very exciting. He is trained extremely well in California. Recently, Sunday moved to Del Mar and has looked great over the surface at Del Mar. And we expect another top-class performance from Max Player in the Classic.
You know, he was struggling a bit before those two victories in the Suburban and the Jockey Club Gold Cup that you just talked about. Six in the Pimlico Special, didn't run all that well in the Saudi Cup, certainly. What's been the key to getting that light bulb to go on and seeing this turnaround from Max Player?
Ricardo getting him away from the gates and being in the race. He had eliminated himself in the majority of his starts for us previous to that, just, you know, giving him, you know, 7 to 10 lengths away from the gates in the first 4 and 5 jumps with a horse that's obviously distance help, and he stays and made a concentrated effort to have his first 100 yards considerably better, and then he stays on extremely well from then. He's always been a horse that's had a lot of class away from the poles. He is an impressive horse, and then just giving him too much to do in quality fields away from the gate.
How does that surface at Del Mar stack up to the surfaces he was running on back east at Belmont and Saratoga?
It'll be very interesting. You know, that's meet starts on Wednesday. Haven't been on it. They haven't been training on it until this Monday. So it seems to be in very good shape right now, and they're training over it very lively. The Del Mar weather has everybody feeling really good and very sharp, but we will definitely be watching races starting Wednesday intently with how the racetrack is playing.
So often we'll hear about trainers that will go out, Steve, and they'll walk on the turf course early in the day or early in the week before a big event like the Breeders' Cup, for example. Some trainers will go out and they'll check out the dirt course. Will you get out there? I mean, you're out there every morning with the training anyway, but will you actually get down and physically get a feel for what the surface is all about?
No, I definitely have not learned that skill as a trainer. I'll rely on my handicapping and watching races run.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. So there's a good point. So here's North America's all-time leading trainer, and you've won more races than anybody else in the history of the sport. What's your approach to coming into a big event like this? How do you do it?
Well, I think that you're concentrating on getting your horses at their peak mentally and physically on the day in question. I feel extremely confident how this group is training and how they're acting. And then what you are looking for from here on out is how the racetrack is playing. And if there is any bias as far as what part of the racetrack that seems to be favoring or something, whether you're avoiding it or trying to get to it, I think that depends on how big a bias it is.
All right, let's go back to the other horses then that you have pre-entered. We'll start on Friday. Echo Zulu in the Juvenile Fillies, undefeated daughter of the aforementioned Gunrunner. Just heard that call of him winning the Classic. This is actually the 10-year anniversary of your only other win in the Juvenile Fillies with My Miss Aurelia. And that was another filly coming in. She was another filly that was also a perfect 3-for-3, just like Echo Zulu. So tell me a little bit about her.
Yes, that is My Miss Aurelia being a winner of the Frisette also. Very similar time to Echo Zulu's. And then the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly was My Miss Aurelia's first two-turn race, as well as it will be Echo Zulu's. He's just a brilliantly fast filly, very straightforward right through the front door. very handy, very confident filly that's got a tremendous amount of ability. And we're very excited to have her, let alone the, you know, the chance to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies with her.
That was Steve Asmussen speaking with our own Mike Penna just the other day. Steve Asmussen, of course, running several horses in this year's Breeders' Cup World Championships. Once again, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club on the 2021 edition of the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Jude, we've had a chance to see a lot of horses go by while we were listening to that interview. Anyone catch your eye?
I was so busy moving around here trying to get organized, I really wasn't paying attention to the horses on the track, I'm sorry to say. But, you know.
Why do you think it is with the European runners that, you know, they look so much more regimented than what we normally see here in the U.S.? You know, they come out six or seven of them at a time. They're single file. The exercise riders are basically all clad the same. You know, they'll have the same color helmets. They'll have the same color jackets. It's much different than what you see here in the States.
Well, training in Europe is so much different than training here in the United States. You're basically out in a field more than a track. Horses train in the countryside a lot, and they go out as a group together from each stable. So They're used to that type of thing, and when they bring them to the U.S., they kind of continue that on with the single file going out to the track and that type of thing. It's really beautiful to watch. I mean, sometimes when Aidan O'Brien has, like, you know, 13, 14 horses in a set, it's very impressive when you see it. It looks like the cavalry's coming.
The other thing is it seems like it maybe keeps them calmer. You know, where they don't get distracted as much. You know, they're with their group, with their herd, with their pack. And, you know, whereas you might see a skittish one by herself or himself here in the States, you almost never see that with the Euro contingent when they're coming out like that.
Yeah, they're highly trained, and they have to be, because a lot of times they're walking through downtown traffic or you know, different things that they have to see and deal with that American horses don't have to deal with.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get jockey Raylu Gutierrez on with us. He is riding in his first ever Breeders' Cup race this Friday, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. He rides in connection. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
To Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
Airdrie Studs Complexity, one of 2021's hottest new sires. Book full immediately in his first year at stud. The Blazingly Fast Son and McLean's Music showed he was amongst his generation's most gifted runners when taking the Grade 1 Champagne Stakes at 2 in 1:34 and 3.
And Complexity's going to go every step of the way to win the champagne.
As a 3-year-old, his 1:10 buyer speed figure when taking the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap was outpaced only by Horse of the Year Authentics Breeders' Cup Classic of any race at a mile or more in 2020.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Nick Sallusto is your source for proving grade one success at every level. Nick's full-service equine management company includes Thorough Stock Training Center in Morriston, Florida, launching the career of grade one winner Bella Sophia, and Sallusto and Albina Bloodstock, specializing in sales representation, breeding, and private purchases, including Kentucky Derby winner Big Brown, champion Caledonia Road, grade one winners Mind Control, Arklow, Beach Patrol, and Violence, along with undefeated greatest stakes winner Cantharos. For more information, visit thoroughstock.com. That's thoroughstock.com.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 Aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
And Midnight Blue got their name on Fatal Bullet. He's running a huge one on the lead. Fatal Bullet tries to hold on, but Midnight Blue just plain got too much class for him. And what a magnificent back-to-back winner of the sprint. Midnight Luke could not have been more impressive. He wins with his ears pricked in the end. Fatal Bullet was second, and Street Boss finishes third.
Trevor Demmon on the call of the 2008 Breeders' Cup Sprint, one of two wins in the sprint for the very talented Midnight Luke, one of several very, very good stallions over at Hillendale Farm by Zalaka. Of course, Curlin is their, what would you call it, Jude, as far as he's the leader of the pack when it comes to Curlin. I think he still has the most grade one winners for a stallion in 2021, the most graded stakes wins for a, you know, stallion's progeny in 2021. I think it's stud fee, $175,000. They've got a new stallion, though, that they're very excited about, and who wouldn't be? Charlatan will be standing his first season next year, $50,000 fee.
Yeah, he was a fantastic racehorse. And, you know, I mean, Hillendale's got a history of great stallions, and Curlin certainly stands alone atop everybody. I mean, he's an amazing horse. He's got a son at Stud Connect who's going to have some impact probably in this Breeders' Cup. So it's he's a sire of sires. He's a great sire himself. So, you know, great history there at Hillendale.
Bobby Newman and Jude Feld here live at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, just days away from the Breeders' Cup. We just saw Art Collector go right by us as he's headed to the paddock for schooling. But right now we're joined by a gentleman who will be riding in his first ever Breeders' Cup this Friday. He rides Hidden Connection in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Welcome Ray Lou Gutierrez to the program. Ray, have a good morning, my friend. And we're still searching for Ray. We will hopefully get Ray momentarily. We had Ray on the phone there, and he actually hung up. So we are going to try. We may have lost him right there. We are going to try to reconnect with Ray Lou Gutierrez, who he will be riding Hidden Connection, Jude, this Friday in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. A couple notes about this race. First of all, a little bit surprising. There's only a field of six in here. I think the talent is so good at the top of this division with Echo Zulu, Hidden Connection, and Juju's Map that a lot of the connections just decided not to come. And now we are joined by Ray Lou Gutierrez, who will ride one of those, you know, the big three in the Juvenile Fillies, Hidden Connection. Ray, welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Ray, I know these are exciting times for you, your first ever mount in the Breeders' Cup. Still not here out at Del Mar. What's going through your head as you get closer and closer to this Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies?
Oh, we're very excited to head out there, and you know, we got the business to take care of here in Kentucky, first and foremost. But I'm very excited to be on her, and she's very special to my career, and she's transcending it as we speak. So I look forward to being out there.
She's been tremendous for you, 2 for 2. Broke her maiden at Colonial very easily, 7.5 lengths, and then came back and won the Pocahontas by 9.25. Talk about the Pocahontas and how it was when she stretched out and how she handled everything so professionally. She looked so good.
Yeah, she was really great, and you know, that was always a question mark. Could she handle the two turns? So she coming from that distance, and you know, she, you know, Colonial's a fast track, and it's really good on the horses, but it's, you know, some faster times than you'd expect. So how would she handle it?
could she improve? She's a slighter, smaller filly, so, you know, what were the expectations really on her? But she did great, and she not only triumphed, but she broke the barriers, and she did everything and more that we expected. So, I mean, who's to say that she's not to improve even more off of that run with a little bit more experience? She's been working tremendously, and, you know, Mr. Calhoun and his staff do a great job preparing these horses.
Have you been on her for a couple of those recent works? They're pretty flashy on the page.
Yeah, I have been on her, we've been working her consistently every week, and she's been working great. We can't ask for anything more.
Speaking with Raylu Gutierrez, who will be riding Hidden Connection in this Friday's Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, a short but sweet field of six. I'm sure you've seen the field, and you know that Hidden Connection, among others, is going to have to catch Echo Zulu for the most part if she's going to want to have a chance to win. What are your thoughts of this field, and what kind of trip are you looking for?
Well, I'm sure all six of us riders are happy there's only six. I mean, there's not too much to that'll be going on, and we know where all of us are going to be, and, you know, I feel very happy with my post. I'm already inside, you know, saving ground, and, you know, it's kind of all the fact, you know, everyone's talking about Echo Zulu, and, you know, but I think Juju's map is just as good, and Sherry DeVoe's horse ran a good second to her and is improving, so, I mean, I don't think you can write off anybody, you know, for being there, and I mean, Echo Zulu, she's shown very well. Those one-turn miles, they are different from these two-turn races. And, you know, nobody really contested her from the start in these races. And, you know, we don't really know how good she is. So I guess, you know, you meet her in the face. And, I'm sure Juju's map, you know, who has some very good speed, will be right up there with her. And, you know, no one's going to give anything easy to Echo Zulu. And she's not proven at two turns. So we'll see how good she is. And, but, you know, Mr. Asmussen and his staff, they always do a great job in these types of races, and same with Mr. Cox and his staff. So it'll be a great race, and but I feel, you know, my filly is just as good, and she's going to put me in a great position to get a good trip.
Your filly has an excellent pressing style, and it seems like you can kind of put her wherever you want. Is that the case?
Yeah, I mean, she's as good, you know, she's good rating. She'll break out of there with some speed, and that's what I like. I mean, I love to put my horses in a forward position, a position where they have, you know, not too much to do. And, but we've worked her, she, you know, to the point of we're comfortable that we feel that she can be wherever and she's fine. And, I'm inside, you know, that, you know, they're going to have to, you know, use the gas because I'm going to come out of there running too. So she's going to be wherever she wants, and, we'll let the race unfold, and hopefully we can just, catch them down the lane.
Ray, you've ridden in a lot of different parts of the country already in your young career, of course, starting off really in New York, but riding in Texas, riding in Virginia, now riding in Kentucky. How has it been, you know, traveling all over, and, you know, how hard is it for you to, you know, find where you really want to settle down and set up shop?
Well, it's been difficult. I mean, I'm a New York guy, and I love being in New York, and I mean, I'm a Western New York guy, so go Bills. But I love Kentucky. I'm really falling in tune with Kentucky. I live with Jose, who's my agent, and you know, we live in Louisville, and it's pretty great. It's got great vibes, and you know, the Kentucky circuit is certainly where I want to be for the foreseeable future, and I feel like I can continue to develop myself as a rider, and you know, of course, as a person as I grow up more, and In the Kentucky circuit, there's great riders there to learn from. The best horsemen are there, some great horsemen, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity that I've been given to kind of just come in with a loaded jockey county and already have a Breeders' Cup mount, and I've only been riding in Kentucky for a little over a month. So I'm very blessed, and, you know, I'm not taking this for granted. I mean, but I having the experience of riding in all these places, when I go somewhere new that I haven't run, I'm really not phased at all. I just, you just adjust to the dimensions of the track. You study, you know, you don't give yourself an excuse. I mean, I already have enough experience, you know, going to new places where you just adjust and you win and you perform. So, you know, but being Kentucky riding and learning from these great riders, Tyler, Brian, Corey, Ricardo, Florent, Julian,
You know, Chris Landeros. There's guys who probably aren't winning a lot, you know, right now in the stands, and they're fantastic riders, you know, with a great history. So it's really great to be there and compete and learn from these guys.
Well, Ray, we certainly appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us here this morning. Wish you the very best this Friday. We're big fans of Hidden Connection, so we're rooting for you, and good luck in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies.
Thank you very much, guys, and I hope we get lucky.
All right, Ray Lou Gutierrez is kind enough to join us from Kentucky. He's actually riding in Kentucky, I believe, today and tomorrow, Jude, and then he's flying out here tomorrow night, and he has to go through all the COVID testing protocols that all the jockeys do before they ride here in the States. So, but taking the time out of his schedule, probably after morning works out at Churchill, and it's got to be exciting times. I'll tell you what, he's a very well-spoken young man.
Yeah, and very good rider, too.
He's a very good rider. He seems like a very smart guy. His agent is a great guy, Jose Santos Jr. They're doing the right things. He's getting on the right horses, and he's proving that when he has the right horses, he can put them in the spots to win.
Yeah, he's done quite well everywhere he's ridden, and Kentucky's no exception. It's just going to be opportunities, right? That's what everybody needs, is some decent horses to ride.
I'll tell you what, Hidden Connection, whether you think that she's the one to beat or not, she's co-second choice on the morning line at 5-2. Echo Zulu is logically the heavy favorite on the morning line. Hidden Connection has done nothing wrong in her two starts, and she has something experience-wise that Echo Zulu doesn't, and that is a win around two turns. Now, it is a shorter field, and it's not that Echo Zulu isn't capable of running two turns. We just haven't seen her do it yet. And Echo Zulu may just get out in front of this field and just keep on going. Obviously, Hidden Connection has never faced an Echo Zulu yet, but turn it the other way around, I'm not sure Echo Zulu has faced a Hidden Connection yet.
Well, that's probably true. Echo Zulu, brilliantly fast. She's the controlling speed, and Hidden Connection is going to have to catch her because she's not as quick as Echo Zulu, so... We'll see how the race sets up, but Hidden Connection actually has a very good chance of winning, and I think that might be the top two.
By the way, we've seen a few other horses go by us as we're sitting just above the winner's circle here at Del Mar. Derrynane, who is, I believe, ridden by Joel Rosario in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, just went through the tunnel, headed toward the paddock for some schooling. Seeing a lot of these runners, whether they're, you know, two-year-olds or experienced, you know, gritty older horses going to the paddock to get the schooling. Is that something that surprises you?
Not at all, because you know, it's first of all, it's a Tuesday. There's not a big crowd around, and the horses like to get a little relaxation after they gallop, and the trainers like them to see the sights. So it's just a natural thing. You come off the track, you go to the paddock through the tunnel. It's just getting your horse used to all the sights and sounds of Del Mar, which can be a little bit intimidating on big days, which these horses are going to be running on huge days at Del Mar. So, you know, it's typical.
As I mentioned, we've seen not only some younger horses go, some Europeans, some Japanese runners head to the paddock, but gritty old veterans, and even a horse like Mo Forza, who's already, you know, he's been to this paddock several times in his career, and he's done very well at Del Mar. He obviously knows the surroundings here. Maybe hasn't been racing in front of a crowd like what he's going to see this Saturday, but still big crowds normally when he's running, because he's running on Saturdays
right
at Del Mar. So it's a lot of fun to see these superstars from all over the world really just passing right in front of us as they're getting their final preparations in, whether it's mental or physical, for their big events this Friday and Saturday. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by the Executive Vice President, Chief Marketing Officer here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, Craig Dato, huge fan of the game, likes to bet a few races here and there as well. We'll see, pick his brain, see what Craig thinks about the Breeders' Cup this weekend. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Talking with Dr. Jim Chiappetta of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, do the strips help with EIPH?
Essentially, all horses that work hard are vulnerable to EIPH. As with any elite athlete, we are pushing performance horses to their physiological limits, and when we do, things can break. In this case, blood vessels in the lungs. Nothing stops EIPH. Only two things have been clinically proven to reduce EIPH: flare strips and Lasix. Alone or with Lasix, flare strips protect horses from EIPH.
Learn more at flarestrips.com/learn.
Catholic Boy, one of only three American three-year-old colts in history to win grade ones on both dirt and turf, including the Immortal Secretariat. A six-time graded stakes winner from ages 2 to 4, he was the fastest three-year-old of his crop over 10 furlongs. Now his first foals have arrived. Dual surface grade one winner Catholic Boy, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Denali Stud is a perennial leading consigner with three decades of raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Qualified, search results, undefeated fillies, 1-2 down to the wire. Who's going to win it? It's Malathat by a neck.
Idle perfectly timed. Idle gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big cap.
Denali sold Kentucky Oaks winner and leading distaff contender Malathat and fold raised and sold Breeders' Cup Classic contender Idle. Denali Stud, where attention to detail is standard.
Coming down to the finish, and it will be Matole.
The level of racing that he's achieved is extremely rare. The quality fields that he's beat, that's what makes him the fastest horse in the world.
The final time was a new stakes record. Matole!
Look for Champion Matoli's first weanlings selling this November.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Brisnet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Brisnet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
The field turns for home, and it's Stormcat. Stormcat leads by 3/4 of a length. Scat Dancer surging on the outside. Regal Dreamer is racing in third. Mugambo and Tussle. Bullet Run on the outside. They're inside the final furlong, and it is Stormcat who leads by 2.5 lengths. Tasso is full of run. They're running out of ground. Stormcat, Tasso, here's the wire, and it is too close to call. It's a photo finish. It can go either way. Was it Tasso? Was it Stormcat? I can't split them. The final time in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, 1:36-1.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1985 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, where Tasso and Stormcat came down to the wire. You know, Jude, Tasso got the better of Stormcat on the racetrack that day. I think Stormcat got the better of Tasso in the breeding shed.
Oh, no doubt. It's like 500,000, 5,000.
By the way, that was the first and only edition of the Breeders' Cup that was ever run at Aqueduct. Wonder if they'll ever do that again.
Probably not.
You know what? I love Aqueduct. Aqueduct gets a bad rap. I love Aqueduct, and that 1985 Breeders' Cup was a lot of fun. And by the way, Tasso was the first Del Mar Futurity winner to go on and win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They've actually had a lot of Del Mar Futurity winners go on and do well in Triple Crown races. Of course, Silver Charm and American Pharoah and Nyquist completed the Del Mar Futurity Kentucky Derby double. And speaking of Del Mar and the Del Mar Futurity, we're pleased to be joined now by the Chief Marketing Officer, Executive Vice President of the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, Craig Dato. Craig, welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
What a pleasure to have you guys actually here on site. Usually I'm talking to you guys on the phone, Nice to have you guys here. This is great.
We're glad to be here. We're California guys.
Right? Well, welcome back.
Real quick, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillandale. Bobby Newman, Jude Feld, joined by Craig Dato at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. Craig, exciting times here at Del Mar. First of all, it's always great to be here at Del Mar, whether it's for the Breeders' Cup, for the quote-unquote regular summer meet, or for this Bing Crosby meet. But this is the second ever Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. What was the process on getting the Breeders' Cup here to begin with and then getting them to come back?
Yeah, we actually went back to New York to meet with the Breeders' Cup board maybe in 2012 or 13. We were never really even eligible to host a Breeders' Cup until we had this fall meet. And one of the reasons, frankly, that we chose November to add the month of extra days was because of Breeders' Cup. So once we had the fall meet, we went back and met with the Breeders' Cup board back in, I want to say, 2012, 2013, and made a pitch and said, you know, I know a lot of you folks from the East Coast of Kentucky maybe never been to Del Mar, but we think we can handle it. And one of the big selling points was the weather. I'm sorry, it's a little disappointing this morning, guys. It's not sunny yet, but the sun will come out. And frankly, that this is just a destination city as far as hotels and restaurants. We can handle an event like this. I mean, think about it. Back when the Chargers were here, they used to love to have Super Bowls in San Diego. And that's one of the things we pitched about coming to Del Mar for Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, that's a great thing. One of the things that cracked me up the first Breeders' Cup here, Shook McGahee had never been to Del Mar. And I was shocked because Shook's a guy, when you're in Saratoga, you see him out to dinner all the time. He loves to socialize with his clients and his friends. And, you know, he'd never been to Del Mar. I mean, it's like the social event of the year, right?
Dude, you have no idea how many people I've met the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's because we run the same time as Saratoga. And if you're an East Coast guy, you go to Saratoga, and why would you go to Del Mar?
Yeah.
So it was fun in 17 to have people walk around saying, you know, this place is all right.
Speaking with Craig Dato, the Executive Vice President and the Chief Marketing Officer here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. Craig, you guys are coming off a spectacular summer meet here at Del Mar. That Ship and Win program has just been a complete boon, and it worked very, very well. Seemed like you had a lot bigger fields this year than what we've seen in Southern California over the last few years. What was the magic formula to get everything, you know, moving the right direction this summer?
You know, to be honest with you, I wish we knew. We thought we would be up slightly in field size and up slightly in handle, but nobody predicted what happened. I mean, we average $18 million a day in handle, which is crazy. And I'm going to go out on a limb right here, right now, and I'm going to call our shot that we're going to break the all-time Breeders' Cup handle record this weekend. I think we are. The record is $174 million that was set at Santa Anita a few years ago. Last time we had it here, they bet $166 million. I'm going to be disappointed if we don't hit $180 million.
Well, I hope that doesn't mean they're going to be dragging post times for 4 minutes.
We're going to circle them behind the gate for 10 minutes on every race.
Do the old Caliente shuffle. Listen, we're the closest to Caliente that it gets.
Because of NBC TV, we can't do that. We got to stay on time. So I promise we won't do that. The classic will go.
They still have Quinella's here.
Yeah, right?
How about that? Cool.
The classic has to go at about 5:40 on Saturday for NBC, so we can't do that.
Yeah, it's TV really tightens things up. There's no BSing with television. You got to be on schedule. So it helps us too in radio, but television really makes things a lot clearer.
Craig, this meet is only a few years old, this Bing Crosby meet. Obviously, when Hollywood Park went away and Pomona went away, Del Mar, one of the tracks that really stepped in and kind of took up the slack. What is the difference as far as preparing for this fall meet, the shorter Bing Crosby meet, as compared to the main meet in the summertime?
Well, this is much more of a locals meet. The crowds aren't quite as big because it's not the middle of summer. People aren't traveling. It's not a tourist type meet like the summer meet is. So it's just scaled down a little bit. It's funny. A lot of people prefer this meet because they like the slower pace, and, you know, we don't have the concerts and all the hectic things we have going on in the summer with the big crowds. So as the marketing guy, of course, I prefer the summer and the big crowds, but this is nice. We love the fall meet, and it's interesting. People think they come to Del Mar and always wear shorts, and if you're in the shade here in the fall meet, it's cold. People need to realize that. So I tell everybody, what's my big piece of advice for Breeders' Cup is dress warmly. Even if it's 72, it gets a little chilly out here with the wind coming off the ocean.
By the way, mentioned that we get to see stars from all over the country here, not only the human variety, but of course the equine variety. And Nick's Go, who is the morning line favorite for this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, is on the track right now in schooling. In fact, just walking around right now as he gets through his final preps. And big gray good looking sort that will be ridden by Joel Rosario in what looks like, Craig, a speed latent field in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. Listen, I know there's a lot of races to look at. I mean, how fast is the pace going to be in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic?
Such a good question. And that is one of the things we were, you know, one of the draws that I was really paying attention to yesterday was the Classic, to see if that would help tell the story. You know, as I told you guys off air, I haven't done all my work yet, but I'm in the Hot Rod Charlie camp just because he's the local hero here, owned by Bill Strauss and Patrick O'Neill, who lives here. So I'm rooting for my friends there. He's doing great, and he's going to run his race. I just don't know if he's as good as Nick's Go or Essential Quality or even Medina Spirit, who seems to be blossoming. But what a great race. I think if you think about it, 6 months ago, we didn't anticipate such a good Classic. Everyone was saying, who are the good older handicap horses? I don't know. Well, it's really turned into a good race, and I'm really excited about it.
And it's not only the older handicap horses. I think the three-year-olds have, like, closed the gap. Early part of the year, and this is not unusual, the three-year-olds didn't look like they were nearly as fast as horses like Nick's Go, if Nick's Go ran his race. But Essential Quality keeps improving. And Medina Spirit, that win last time out in the Awesome Again, I know took a lot of people by surprise. It took me by surprise. I have not been a Medina Spirit believer from the get-go. I kind of always thought that horses like Life is Good were better than Medina Spirit, that he was like the second or third best three-year-old in his barn. He's improved. It's going to be a fantastic Classic. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. Craig, before we let you go, for those that may be coming out to Del Mar for the first time, what are some things that they should definitely not miss, you know, when they're here at the track or in the area?
Well, you have to have a fish taco at the Brig, which is right on the corner of our property here to the west. You can see it from where we're sitting. That's just a tradition. The Del Mar Plaza has been reinvigorated in the village of Del Mar downtown. You got to check that out. A lot of great restaurants, a lot of great bars. That's going to be kind of the social hub this week, where a lot of parties are going to take place. As I said, the weather is going to get nicer. We're supposed to be 72 and sunny on Friday and Saturday. Right now it's overcast and kind of dreary, but it's going to get better. So enjoy the beach. Enjoy the hotels. Enjoy the restaurants. That's what San Diego's all about. So we're looking forward to putting on a show for everybody.
Well, really appreciate you joining us, Craig. By the way, if you come here in the summertime, you actually get to see some great concerts here at Del Mar, too. It's Ziggy Marley, the Violent Femmes. I mean, I think you've had the B-52s here.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of fun in the summertime.
Yeah, absolutely. We really market to a younger crowd, a very female crowd, and it makes things a lot of fun around here.
Well, I mean, he almost is acting like he's trying to tell us, you guys want to show up for these summer things. Younger crowd, very female crowd. Where else would you want to be?
I'm happy to come to Del Mar anytime. Just point me in the right direction.
Craig Dato, the Executive Vice President, Chief Marketing Officer at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, kind of to join us on what is starting to become a busy week here at Del Mar, and of course culminating with the second ever Breeders' Cup held here at Del Mar. First one was back in 2017. That was a huge success. Looking for even bigger and better things this year. Thanks a lot for joining us, Craig.
Pleasure. I'll see you guys Friday, Saturday. I think you'll be set up right outside my office, so you're stuck with me.
We'll take it. And Craig's had a pretty good office if you like to be right above the paddock at Del Mar. There are worse offices to have. Craig Dato from the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by trainer Mark Cassie. He has five runners in this year's Breeders' Cup events. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
Two-time Horse of the Year, Curlin.
Malathon, back in the win column, and Poirier will win the Cotillion.
Known Agenda is now on to take over the lead.
Grace Adler, a scintillating performance.
Idol gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big cap.
The leading sire of Grade 1 winners with 5 and co-leading sire of Greatest Stakes winners with 12. Curlin, the classic sire, standing at Hillendale Farms.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote
the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
And Teppan just off the leader's flank in second top of the stretch. A gap of two more to Tourist, who swings to the outside third. Mashawish is fourth in the center of the course. Grand Arch fifth back toward the inside. And then Impassable. Teppan has taken the lead, coming past the eighth pole. Obviously, second Grand Arch is coming late from third. But Teppan has a five-length margin and deep stretch. It is Teppan with Julian Leperoux. Mondial Least runs late to second. But Teppan has won the Breeders' Cup Mile. Mondial Least second, Grand Arch third. Mashawish was fourth in 1 minute 36 and 3/5 seconds.
Our very own Kurt Becker on the call of the 2015 Breeders' Cup Mile, won impressively by Teppan, trained by Mark Cassie. And Mark, kind enough to join us this morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale. Mark, welcome to the Countdown.
Well, thanks for having me.
Mark, you're going to be a busy man this week, and this is not your normal stomping grounds here out at Del Mar, but you've got five runners over the two-day span, four of them actually set to go on Friday, and three of them in the same race, the Juvenile Turf. And you obviously didn't make very good friends with the racing secretary as you drew the 10, 11, and 12 hole.
No, I think 11, 12, 13. It's even worse. What's funny is I can't remember the years because they're all starting to kind of go together, but I had La Cornell, and then I had a filly called My Conquistadori, who both would have probably been favorites in the Turf Mile filly, two-year-olds, and they both, I think, drew the 14 hole. So I was saying to somebody yesterday morning, look, I said, the worst we can be is 12, 13, and 14. Well, I was close, 11, 12, 13. I mean, it's like impossible. How could that happen?
I don't know. It's weird how that goes sometimes. Sometimes you do draw the 1, 2, 3, too.
I've upset the Breeders' Cup gods for somehow, especially on Turf Mile. Well, I can't complain. We've done okay in Turf Miles.
Let's talk first about Papa Cap, who's going to run in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And Papa Cap is a horse who has run out here in Southern California. He did not get the worst of the post draws, by the way. Papa Cap drawing post number four.
He was one of the lucky ones.
How did you decide to go the West Coast route with Papa Cap? He's a horse who debuted at Gulfstream, but his three subsequent starts, two at Del Mar, one at Santa Anita, that is not what we normally see from you.
No, it's so interesting. The Russells, wonderful people, George and Karen Russell, they have a farm in Ocala where that's our training center, and then they live in South Florida as well. So they sent him to us to break and get him ready, and he looked like he was a pretty good horse from the beginning. And so we decided we're going to go down, try to run at Gulfstream so they could watch him. And then once he won, we brought him back to the training center, and they came out one morning, and I said, look, we're going to send out a small contingency to California. I said, I think this horse is a Breeders' Cup horse. I think this is a good horse. And I said, why don't we get out there and have a home field advantage? And that's why he's here.
Sometimes things like that fly under the radar, right? Because you have a, a client that lives in Florida, so you decide to run the horse where they can watch him, and then, you know, you come up with this great idea to ship him out here, and very similar, not exactly the same as Gulfstream, but close to the ocean, nice negative ions in the air, the horses appreciate being here, that kind of thing. And a lot of times that is never discussed, right? It's just like, oh, you know, the horse ran here, he's going to run in this race, and the 97 buyer and all that jazz. But there's a lot of things behind the scenes that people don't really understand.
We'll even go deeper than that. I looked at the horses that had broke their maiden at Keeneland. I looked at the horses that had broke their maiden in New York. And I also looked at the horses that had broke their maiden in California. And I just felt like at that time it was softer. Bob still hadn't cranked up his two-year-olds. And see, the other thing that people don't realize is I train for a lot of people that are breeders. They own Papa Cap's mother. And so that grade two for him to win, and it was not the strongest grade two. We're not going to pretend it was. But it was extremely important. It was important enough that his brother, half-brother, brought $190,000 as a yearling. Then afterwards, by the way, and we bought him. But I bought him for some clients. But so, yeah, a lot of it is I'm a chess player. That's what I do when I'm not training horses. And I feel like I do that also when I'm training. And that's something you'll see. We have divisions in four or five places, and I try to put my horses where they fit, you know, makes the most sense.
You know, we've discussed this a lot over the year, and when it comes to you, maybe a trainer like Steve Asmussen, even to a different degree, Brad Cox, can't figure out how you ever get any sleep, first of all. how is it that you mentioned you have four or five divisions, obviously a big division up at Woodbine, or you'll race in Florida, you've got a small division here, you'll race in Kentucky. How is it possible to keep up with all of these and all of these horses, and, you know, how reliant are you on your assistants and everyone working with them?
Well, don't get a lot of sleep. And as my dad said, God rest his soul, he said, if it doesn't winnie, you know nothing about it. Don't ask me who's winning in baseball and who's winning in football, because I couldn't tell you. But I find it to be a challenge. We had a filly recently, Love You. She ran, I thought she was a nice horse. She broke her maiden at Saratoga, and we ran her in the Goldenrod, and she ran very poorly. She got beat 50 lengths. But in the meantime, I had got the Greens to buy her mom, or we bought her mom. I didn't get them to. That was John. John came up with that decision. So I said, well, we got to right this ship. And so we shipped her down to, she's a Florida bred. We shipped her down, and she won the stake easily on Saturday at Gulfstream. So those are the things that I do. And I get disappointed when we get beat, but, as I tell my son, who's a big baseball player, I said, when we win, we win. When we lose, we learn. So I try to learn from something and build on it, and it's all I do. I may go to sleep early, upset that we had a bad day, but I can promise you this, when I wake up the next morning, I'm going to figure out how I'm going to fix it.
Yeah,
all I do.
One of the earmarks, I think, of Hall of Fame trainers, and you're a double Hall of Fame trainer, which I love, is single-mindedness, right? The guys in the Hall of Fame, that's what they do. You do it. Richard Mandela does it. Bobby Frankel did it. Charlie Whittingham. Those guys, always single-minded. Horse racing, that's what they do.
That's, you know, I don't do anything else.
Yeah.
I do play chess online on my phone, but the good news is I only have to make one move every 5 days. So there's not a big rush. And speaking of chess, it's funny, credibility. That's how Harry, I was playing Harry chess. I didn't know anything about Harry. We're playing, and he texts me. He says, do you train horses, or do you know Mark Cassie? I said, well, yeah, kind of. Next thing I know, he bought a horse, sent it to me, and now we're in the Breeders' Cup. So it's a crazy world.
Talking about Harry Rosenblum, who owns Credibility, post position number 12, one of the long shots. in the Juvenile Turf this Friday. Goes as the 10th and final race on the card. Mentioned that you have three horses in the race, Grafton Street, Credibility, and Coinage. Here's something you don't normally see, Jude. All of them in the Breeders' Cup will be ridden by jockeys who have never ridden them in any of their previous starts.
We're just trying to give everybody a chance.
There you go. Makes a trainer look better when you have a jockey on there that nobody knows.
Yeah. Well, I think they're pretty capable of my guys.
Yeah. You've got Tyler Gaffleone, who, of course, was the runaway winner at the Keeneland meet as far as top jock. Hall of Famer Mike Smith rides Credibility. And Florent Giroux, who's certainly one of the top riders in the country.
Yeah, Flo won my first Breeders' Cup on Catch a Glimpse. And one of the reasons why I kind of got him on Coinage, I can see some similarities with Catch a Glimpse and Coinage. I think Flo will be a great fit. I mean, how can you get better than Mike Smith? And then I don't. Anybody that knows me knows how I feel about Tyler Gaffleone. So yeah. we won our first classic together. So,
to talk about that for a minute, like your experience with one horse and how it leads you to make a decision about another horse, like you did.
Well,
with
I think everything we do, we go into our memory bank and look. I do it when I'm. I try to, when I go around and watch big races, I try to look at all the horses, see what they look like. So when I'm out there trying to find a yearling or the thing I do every evening at the end of every night, I go through and look at every major racetrack and I go over the charts to see, you know, what's winning. What's winning on the grass? What's winning on the tapita? What's winning in the slop? What combinations? So I do a lot of that as well. And, so far, it's worked okay.
Yeah. Well, I always tell Mike Smith nobody could have won the race in Dubai on Arrogate except for Mike Smith. Because when that horse broke badly, Mike said the first thing that came to his mind is, I'm just going to ride him like Zenyatta. Yeah. And there's only one guy that could say that.
Yeah, because there's only one guy that rode Zenyatta.
Right. So,
you find that, I think, too, you know, through training, through, you know, nothing is ever a smooth trip. And when you have things happen along the way, you reach back and you think, now how did I handle the situation in the past? And you know, you draw from that.
You have one horse running in the Breeders' Cup events on Saturday, and certainly a horse that's near and dear to your heart, the mare Got Stormy, who would see. I know she's only a 6-year-old. It seems like she's been in your barn for 10 years. She's facing the boys in the Breeders' Cup Mile. It seems like she runs against the boys more often than she runs against the girls. Is that something where you know ahead that they have a certain disposition that it will not affect them, the girls running against the guys?
I actually think that's a little overdone, to be honest with you. I think you just look at it and say, is she good enough? And she's proven that, you know, time after time. With her, it's more about the distance and the track and the turns. So I can't be too choosy. I know what she loves, and so when it presents itself, you got to go for it.
You made no bones about it last time. She's 1-for-1 here at Del Mar, and you said that, you know, she likes a firm turf course. And I think all along you were looking for, was it the Matriarch that she won a couple years ago here?
She was, yes.
And I think after she finished second to Uni in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 2019. Mark came on record and basically said, you know, we're going to the Matriarch because that's a firm turf course, and that's the kind of turf course she loves. And
so if you want her to get a mile or more, it has to be firm, and you need sharp turns for her. So she can handle a softer turf, but she can't go as far. And you know, there's not really a lot of mile races out there. Last year, a lot of people would say, well, you decided to make her a sprinter. We simply made her a sprinter last year because we knew there was no way she could get a mile at Keeneland in the fall, because there was no way we were going to have a firm turf at Keeneland in the fall.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. So this year was a different story. Everybody said, oh, well, you're going to keep her sprinting. No, because we have a long-term plans, and so that changes things.
By the way, I think they didn't have one day at Keeneland this fall where the turf course started off firm. It may have been firm for one race at the very end of a card during the meet. So you're
I've been in Kentucky for a little while, so you know, I'm not this is
Turf yeah. course took a pounding at Keeneland this
it
year.
It did. And the problem is there's just not enough sun, not enough daylight to ever dry it up, right? So, yeah.
But before we let you go, Mark, it was a pretty good story of how God Stormy is still in your barn. There was – it looked like a few years ago she was going to be sold and retired, isn't that right?
Yeah, she was actually sold last fall after she ran in the Breeders' Cup. She went over – to Fazek Tipton, and I, you know, Gary Barber, one of our biggest and best clients, had told me what his reserve was going to be. Well, she went over the reserve, and my wife and I were we were looking, and I knew she was sold, so I said, well, we're not going to get to train her, and then about 10 minutes after, I get a call from Ned Toffee. He goes, I have a really dumb question to ask you. He said, we bought her. You want to train her? So I said, well, let me think about it now.
Let me ask my wife.
So then my wife and I were giving each other high fives. And she came back to our farm about 2 days later.
That's great.
Great story. Mark Cassie, thanks so much for taking the time to join us this morning. Wish you nothing but the best of luck both Friday and Saturday and all parts of North America that you're running and going forward. It's hard to keep track of where you are and where your horses are running, but they're always fun to watch, and it's a pleasure having you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Mark Cassie sends out 5 Breeders' Cup runners this Friday and Saturday, including 3 in post positions 11, 12, and 13 in the juvenile turf on Friday, taking the time to join us this morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hill & Dale. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that Fazek Tipton sale that Mark had alluded to. They've got a sale coming up. A lot of Breeders' Cup connections in the sale. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Airdrie Studs Complexity, one of 2021's hottest new sires. Book full immediately in his first year at stud. The blazingly fast son and McLean's Music showed he was amongst his generation's most gifted runners when taking the Grade 1 Champagne Stakes at 2 in 1:34 and 3.
And Complexity's going to go every step of the way to win the champagne.
As a 3-year-old, his 110 buyer speed figure when taking the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap was outpaced only by Horse of the Year Authentics Breeders' Cup Classic of any race at a mile or more in 2020.
The Adidas Spring Stallion roster is loaded with classic bloodlines and classic performance.
Oh, the classy point of entry would not be denied.
Dynaformer Zaire Point of Entry, a global sire with black type horses in 5 countries and the number one sire of Grade 1 performers in his crop. Multiple Grade 1 winner Shaman Ghost, the best son of Ghost Zapper, whose 2-year-olds race this year.
And it's going to be
Silent Name, the only son of Sunday Silence at stud in North America, and Canada's champion sire 3 years in a row.
Silent Poet in front of the Neotic, and this one's for you, Martha. Silent Poet's won it.
And the newest addition to the Adina Springs roster, American Guru, from a proven winning family, steeped in tradition, with a strong Mr. Prospector influence on both sides.
But American Guru continues to keep on giving. And American Guru has dominated.
Classic bloodlines, classic performance. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Where did Essential Quality, Latruska, She Dares the Devil, CZ Rocket, Silver State, and several others begin their journey to the Breeders' Cup? Oaklawn, of course. Put your horse on the path to success at the richest winter race meet in the country, now starting even earlier on Friday, December 3rd. Make plans to be part of an exciting 66 days of racing through Sunday, May 8th, and be sure to go to oaklawn.com to book your hotel rooms. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only racing casino resort.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Fazek Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Fazek Tipton, only on HRRN.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown,
presented by Hillendale Farms.
And very subtle is a clear leader at the top of the stretch. Groovy is full out. The half and 44 seconds flat. Very subtle coming to the final furlong now with a three-length lead. And Groovy is laboring now to try to stay with. Very subtle is in front and pouring it on. Now in front by five. Exclusive enough on the outside. Now running in third. Zabaleta is fourth. And they're coming to the finish. And very subtle has crushed this field and has won it by five. And Groovy, a disappointing second here. Groovy disappoints once again. And it was very subtle who had a commanding lead at the top of the stretch. And Groovy just could not get to this filly this afternoon.
The unmistakable voice of Tom Durkin on the 1987 Breeders' Cup Sprint, won by the good filly Very Subtle, Mel Studi trainee, beating the beast from the East, Groovy. He tried to win the Breeders' Cup back-to-back years, didn't get it done as the favorite in back-to-back years. Very Subtle just ran them right off their feet, Jude.
Yeah, she was something else. I had a chance to claim her. she ran for 40,000 first time out, and Mrs. Vallone, a lady I was trained for, she had horses with Ulysses de Jesus down at Caliente, And Ulysses told her, man, this filly can really run. And Mel put her in for 40. And Mrs. Vallone told me, this filly can really run. I said, why don't we claim her? I can't claim her. That's not cool. I said, all right. So
you could have claimed Very Subtle for 40. Anyone could have claimed Maximum Security for 16,000, I believe, from like the first start of his career. A lot of them got by. Thad Ackle did pretty well with Great Communicator, though,
yeah.
Claiming that one.
I claimed one for 20, and he won a grade 3 at Santa Anita, Peter Gray.
Oh, so how about that?
That was good.
All right, so it wasn't all bad.
No, no.
You didn't make all bad decisions.
Oh, no. I had a really good career. I didn't have a lot of horses, but I had a great career, a lot of fun, trained for some great people, so it was good.
Our previous guest, Mark Cassie, alluded to the Fasic Tipton sale where Got Stormy went through after last year's Breeders' Cup. They have a big sale coming up 1 week from today, in fact, Tuesday, November 9th. And a lot of Breeders' Cup entrants are set to go through the sales ring once again this year. We've got She Dares the Devil, who's, of course, a major player in the distaff this year. She's supposed to go through the sales ring at Fasic Tipton. Proud Emma's going to go through the ring. Going to Vegas, who we saw on the track earlier. Queen Supreme is supposed to go through the ring. Caravelle is going to go through. Kamari, a very, very fast turf sprinter for Wesley Ward. A lot of Breeders' Cup connections, it seems like, as always, with this November sale at Fasic Tipton.
Yeah, if you've ever seen the catalog with all the photos of the horses that are racing being sold, it's a beautiful catalog and who's who of horses available at the time. So worth going out just to watch.
Folks, horse racing's world championships are here, and you can bet the Breeders' Cup risk-free with TVG. That's right. New TVG players can get started with a risk-free bet up to $300. That means you'll get up to $300 back if your horse doesn't win. The TVG app is so easy to use and gives you all the tools you need. You get access to free picks, analysis, and wagering advice from industry experts. The Breeders' Cup takes place this Friday and Saturday, so now is the perfect time to give TVG a shot. Just sign up with the promo code HRRN for your chance to bet risk-free up to $300. That's promo code HRRN to place your first win bet risk-free exclusively on TVG.com/HRRN and the TVG app. Age, residency, and other eligibility restrictions apply. New users only. Refund issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days. See terms at TVG.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're going to take one more break when we come back. Pleased to have on set Joel Rosario. He's going to be a busy man this Friday and Saturday during the Breeders' Cup. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
Airdrie Studs Complexity, one of 2021's hottest new sires. Book full immediately in his first year at stud. The blazingly fast son and McLean's music showed he was amongst his generation's most gifted runners when taking the Grade 1 Champagne Stakes at 2 in 134 and 3.
And Complexity's going to go every step of the way to win the champagne.
As a three-year-old, his 110 buyer speed figure when taking the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap was outpaced only by Horse of the Year Authentic's Breeders' Cup Classic of any race at a mile or more in 2020.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Nick Sallusto is your source for proving Grade 1 success at every level. Nick's full-service equine management company includes Thorough Stock Training Center in Morriston, Florida, launching the career of Grade 1 winner Bella Sophia, and Sallusto and Albina Bloodstock, specializing in sales representation, breeding, and private purchases, including Kentucky Derby winner Big Brown, Champion Caledonia Road, Grade 1 winners Mind Control, Arklow, Beach Patrol, and Violence, along with undefeated Greatest Stakes winner Cantharos. For more information, visit ThoroughStock.com. That's ThoroStock.com.
Denali Stud is a perennial leading consigner with three decades of raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Malathon, search results, undefeated fillies, 1-2 down to the wire. Who's going to win it? It's Malathon by a neck.
Idle perfectly timed. Idle gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big cap.
Denali sold Kentucky Oaks winner and leading distaff contender Malathot and fold raised and sold Breeders' Cup Classic contender Idle. Denali Stud, where attention to detail is standard.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Black Tie Affair. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Accelerate. And on the inside, Mendelssohn Thunderstow roaring up between those two as they arrive at the eighth pole. Then Yoshida Axelrod, Gunavera's closing in late. It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstow on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire, and Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler. Gunavera was second, and then it was Yoshida and Thunderstow in a final time of 202.93.
Larry Colmus on the call of the 2018 Breeders' Cup Classic, won very impressively by Accelerate, who was ridden by our next guest, Joel Rosario. Thanks for joining us here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Joel, it's going to be a busy week for you. I know you just got into town, and you're going through all the fun COVID protocols that all the jockeys have to deal with, but you're going to be a busy man Friday and Saturday. Is this something, look, I know the money is big. Is this something where you want to be in as many races as possible? Or it doesn't seem like you get tired out there.
Yes, you want to, you know, be in more races you want to, you know, especially like, you know, Friday and Saturday for sure.
How long does it last, the high of riding these big races? I mean, you finish one, you got to go clean up, get the silks for the next race, go out there. Do you ever get to a part of the day where you feel like, oh man, I have to go out again? Or do you just stay up the whole time?
No, actually, you know, it's fun. I mean, it's fun, and you know, I like the riding, and especially, you know, when it's a I think every race, they are important, but when it's a big race, you know, and then you have so many people, you know, rooting and stuff like that. Just it's an amazing feeling. You never get tired.
Do you feel the pressure of the fans counting on you so much? Because you're a guy that, like, people come out to the track, oh, I'm betting Rosario today. That's all I'm going to bet is Rosario. you hear people say that, right? And I understand it because, you know, you're kind of like El Mago. You can do things on horses other people can't do. I mean, you'll be in a bad post at Saratoga in a turf sprint, and you'll take the horse back and sweep the field and run by everybody, and you just just go, wow, that's like amazing. I mean, sometimes it's jaw-dropping to watch you ride. So Thank do you. You ever feel that pressure, like you have to perform a certain way or do a certain thing?
Not really. I mean, sometimes it's pressure, but not, you know, I just go up there and ride, you know, the horse that they're trying to get the best of, you know, in the race, and then and trying to always figure out what the horse is wanting to do.
Do you do a lot of homework beforehand? Do you kind of like?
I do. I looked at who was the speed in the race, who was the jockey who ride him, and you know, after I come out of the gate, just depending on the horse, you know, how he come out of there and see what he wanted to do and stuff like that. So just, it's a lot of thing that, you know, you have to kind of, is going through your head, you know, at the same time you kind of have to just put it together.
Yeah, so you're not just a pretty face that rides horses. You actually have to think about it sometimes.
Well, for sure.
He's also riding several horses that he's never ridden before,
right,
in the Breeders' Cup. So in addition to what you were saying, looking at it, how much planning do you do with the trainers or, you know, ahead of time to decide on, you know, how you want to ride the horse?
Yeah, actually, it's another thing, you know, you have to just listen to the trainer, what he have to say and stuff like that. And, it's a lot of little things.
You watch films like football players?
I do. Watch the film to see, you know, if the horse, how it come out of the gate and stuff like that. A lot of homework.
Yeah.
Well, certainly one of the biggest horses, or maybe the biggest horse that he'll be riding this weekend, is Nix Go in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, $6 million purse. Nix Go, boy, he was a monster at the end of last year and the early part of this year. And then he kind of stumbled a little bit, as it were, both in the Met Mile and in the Saudi Cup. He was pressed heavily by Charlatan in the Saudi Cup, and he didn't kick on as he normally does. He did not run his normal big race in the Met Mile, both one-turn races. Then he got back to going around two turns in Iowa and in New York and at Churchill Downs, and he was beating fields easily. What's different about Nix Go going two turns than one turn?
I mean, it looked like he just loved, you know, he's a great, I mean, he's tried really hard, this horse, all the time. He's an amazing horse. He had much speed that he have, and he able to just keep going with that speed. And, it seemed like when he get into the turn, he just loved to run, going to the turn, and then he seemed like pretty happy with that.
He's a good turn runner, as they say.
Well, he's a horse that has a lot of speed, and he looks like he really wants to be in front. Now, the funny thing is, I'm not sure how many people know this, so Joel and John Velasquez share the same agent. And John Velasquez rides Medina Spirit. We're actually going to have Johnny V on the show tomorrow with us. We really want to know who's going to make the lead and how fast are you going to have to go in the Breeders' Cup Classic, because both of these horses are very, very fast.
They are. They're both very fast, and just, you know, up to when we break out of there, and then we'll see, you know, who is the faster, and see what is, how the race is playing into.
You have to make that decision so quick, right?
Yes.
Whether to go or to sit.
Yep.
I mean, is your usual inclination to go, or is it to sit?
I mean, it just depends. Uh-huh. Sometimes depends on the horse, too. Sometimes you ask the horse to go, and he just go, and then you might never get him back. And then he just be able to. I mean, he always going to be in the rider for you. So just all depends on the horse, depends living out of there. And
Can you tell him the warm-up if a horse is like, Gonna give it to you that day, or
yeah, that you can tell a little bit in the warming up, but you it helps you a little bit when you know the horse a little bit, or when you come out of there and then just start running, because sometimes they act like that, but they actually, when you go there, they're not, you know, show you that speed that they probably were before you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a feeling in the moment.
Yeah. One of the other big horses that Joel's going to ride on Saturday is Jackie's Warrior, who will be the heavy favorite in this year's Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Boy, he doesn't ride any slow horses.
That's true, but I mean, Jackie's Warrior, I'm gonna admit it. I was not a big Jackie's Warrior fan early on, and they have really found something with this horse, keeping him around one turn. And you've been the regular rider for Jackie's Warrior forever.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Is it simply that distance is the factor for him, or is he just a much better horse now than maybe he was early part in the year?
I mean, he's a really fast horse, really. You know, he carried the speed, and he's able to just keep going with it. You know, it's how big horse that he is, and he come out of the gate, and just fast, go faster and faster.
The race that turned it around for me was the Jerkins up at Saratoga, when Life Is Good actually made the lead, and Jackie's Warrior came and got him. I didn't think there was any way that anyone was going to get Life Is Good that day, and for Jackie's Warrior to stay down on the inside and come and nail him on the wire, this is a horse who's really, really good. And, you know, you've been the rider of him all along, and we're looking at other ones, like, let's say, you know, you're riding Echo Zulu for the first time, you're riding Dairy Name first. Mm-hmm. Is this something where, with Jackie's Warrior, Steve Asmussen doesn't even need to tell you anything, you know what you're supposed to do, or will he still go over the race with you?
I mean, yes, he probably will go over the race and just listen to what he said, but, you know, just I think it just, you know, the horse is fast, and you just have to get him out of there, out of the gate, and then let it do his thing. Yeah,
that's a horse that he's always loved. What kind of turned me on to Jackie's Warrior was last year at the Breeders' Cup when he got beat, and Steve and his whole family, they were so dejected at the end of the race because they thought he was going to win. Steve's always had such a high opinion of this horse, and I said, you know, you got to watch that horse because Steve likes him, and he must see something in him, and you know, one race is not a career. A lot of times nowadays, especially, people like jump off a horse the minute he loses. Like, you're supposed to win every race. No horse wins every race, right?
Sure.
So, you know, don't be discouraged if a horse gets beat.
Personal Ensign won every race.
Well, yeah. She didn't race that many times, though.
It's hard to do.
She was great. Very hard to do. Very hard to do. It's hard to win 6 in a row, nonetheless 10 or 12 or 20 in a row. Even Cigar got beat here. I was here that day.
That's right. Right. Sure. Cigar got beat. We saw Zenyatta get beat. Most of them do get beat. Yeah. Speaking with Joel Rosario, who's going to be a busy rider both Friday and Saturday. In fact, you're riding all week here at Del Mar. They race Wednesday and Thursday as well. Do you pay close attention to how the track's playing those earlier days? And we're looking at it from a handicapping standpoint. I know you're looking at it from riding standpoint, but as to see, you know, if the inside's playing well, the outside's playing well, the speed's doing well, the closers, is that something that you kind of take note of going into these big days?
Oh, for sure. For sure you have to look and see what is the best spot to be on the track and see if, you know, playing speed favor or come from behind and stuff like that. So you have to kind of watch it all out, yeah.
Yeah. He's so good at it. you know, like, he can do it on the fly. I mean, he'll ride a race, one race, he'll go to the lead. The next race, he'll take the horse back. And you go, how's he taking this horse back? This horse had a lot of speed. And he's sitting back there checking his nails, you know. And then all of a sudden, loops a field, here he comes, bam, and you just go.
You see all the nice things that he said. If you ever get tired of Ron Anderson, I'll give you Jude's phone number. He's very willing to take.
I would take his book in a second. It wouldn't take one second. I mean, I'm not a jockey guy. You know, a lot of people love jocks. I mean, I love Bill Shoemaker. He was a good friend, and I loved him. And I've had all the great jocks have ridden for me at one time or another, but. I mean, when I watch him ride, it's like different than everybody else. He rides races differently, and you can, it's like you can see his brain working when he's out on the track. I mean, especially at Saratoga. I think you ride Saratoga like nobody else. I mean, I would want you on every horse that I ran at Saratoga because you just like know exactly where you are and you know what the horse can do. And, you know, the other thing I like is when the horse doesn't have it and your plan's not working, you know, you're not out there trying to squeeze the last bit out of him. You just, like, ride him in and we'll get him next time, you know, which is fine. I mean, that's a way to be, I think.
Joel, one more horse I want to ask you about before you go. You ride Gufo in the Breeders' Cup Turf. Gufo is a horse who comes from well off the pace. And last time out, he made a big move and swept to the lead and looked like he was going to keep going and then got run over by two horses and ended up finishing, I believe, third in the race. Was there anything strange that happened that day? That's not something we normally see from that horse.
Yeah, me, I was time moving in the like probably a little early, you know, but and then it went off and then just it looked like that day, you know, just the winner it was probably a little better than that day and yeah, he still run his race, but I mean at the end, you know, still have a little more, but I mean it was just like it, you know, like some it hard, like what we're talking about, it's hard to win all the time, right?
Right.
It's hard to win all the time.
He ran out of gas.
He always runs well.
We'll even blame if he's Clement for that
one. Yeah.
Should have worked him another five days.
Yeah, that Clement, he had his horse short. Joel, we appreciate you taking the time wish you the very best all week here at Del Mar and look forward to watching you all over the country.
Well, thanks so much. Thank you for having me on the show. We really appreciate you guys.
Really appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend. Joel Rosario riding, well, almost every race, both Friday and Saturday in the Breeders' Cup events. I think he gets one race off on Friday. He may have one race off, one or two on Saturday as well, but riding Nick's Go and riding Gufo and riding Jackie's Warrior and Echo Zulu and a bunch of other horses who have a big chance. Joel Rosario always gives his best and usually puts his horses in the right spots. Whether they win, obviously the horse has a lot to do with that, but he gives them the best chance of winning. Joel, kind enough to join us once again today on the program. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll let you know what's coming up the rest of the week here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown and update our schedule here on HRRN this entire Breeders' Cup week. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
The Breeders' Cup runs here, coming November 5th and 6th, exclusively on HRRN.
Talking with Dr. Jim Chiappetta of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, do the strips help with EIPH?
Essentially, all horses that work hard are vulnerable to EIPH. As with any elite athlete, we are pushing performance horses to their physiological limits, and when we do, things can break. In this case, blood vessels in the lungs. Nothing stops EIPH. Only two things have been clinically proven to reduce EIPH: Flair strips and Lasix. Alone or with Lasix, Flair strips protect horses from EIPH.
Learn more at flairstrips.com/learn.
Eclipse champion Blame has sired five Grade 1 winners, including Nadal, Marley's Freedom, Fault, Abscond, and French Classic winner Senga. Recent top runners include Aga Khan stud Saidabad, a star performer overseas, plus these recent standout performers. With success on the track and success in the ring, this proven son of Arch is truly a gold value stallion. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Vino Rosso, the most accomplished racehorse by leading sire Curlin. An undefeated two-year-old and major Kentucky Derby prep race winner as a three-year-old, multiple Grade 1 winner Vino Rosso won the Eclipse Award for Older Dirt Male at 4 after a dominant victory in the 2019 Breeders' Cup Classic, just like his sire Curlin a dozen years prior.
And it's a vintage performance by Vino Rosso!
Look for the highly anticipated first crop of weanlings selling in November by champion Vino Rosso, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Hi, this is Penelope Miller, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillandale Farms.
And welcome back after a really entertaining and different first day here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillandale. Thanks to all our guests who joined us today. Jude, we've got another power-packed edition of the Breeders' Cup Countdown tomorrow, 8 to 10 Pacific time, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the East Coast. Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne Farm, will be joining us. Isabella Leslie from America's Best Racing. Jeff Bloom, who owns Snapper Sinclair, of course, also owned that magnificent filly Midnight Bisou, will be joining us here. Trainer Cherie DeVoe sends out Tarabi in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. It'll be her first Breeders' Cup as a trainer. Of course, she worked for Chad Brown for many, many years. So the Breeders' Cup is not going to be foreign to her, but her calling all the shots and being the big boss lady, as it were, with Tarabi, that's going to be exciting. Peter Miller, this is old hat to him. And having what seems like a home field advantage to Peter Miller, who seems like he wins the training title here every time at Del Mar. He's got five runners in this year's Breeders' Cup. We talked to Joel Rosario in the previous segment, the other rider who's with the same agent, John Velasquez, if you want to call him the other rider. He is certainly not taking a backseat to anybody. He's another jockey who's going to be very busy both Friday and Saturday, and will be riding all week here at Del Mar. He will join us as well, another big addition tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's fantastic lineup, and hopefully everybody's on time, and we get them all in.
They usually are. The horse racing game, people are excited about, you know, getting the publicity and getting the game out to everybody, and they're very personable people, 99.9% of them, and obviously we had great guests today. Looking forward to great guests tomorrow. Once again, the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms, live 8 to 10 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the East Coast, and then race day will follow that from 3 to 6 Eastern time. Dave Freeman and I will go over the live cards from Del Mar, Churchill Downs, and Indiana Grand. And, of course, Fasig Tipton presents Trainer Talk from 6 to 7 p.m. on the East Coast tomorrow and every Wednesday here on the program, all part of a huge week here on HRRN, culminating with live coverage of this year's Breeders' Cup Championships. We are the exclusive home of radio coverage for the Breeders' Cup Championships both Friday and Saturday. For producers Lee Delapina and Sean C., my co-host Drew Feld, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown.